This week's parasha, Vayigash. We dedicate tonight's shiur to the Hatzlocha of the IDF. They should be Matzliach, and they should eradicate the evil. Mm-hmm. And we should be Zecha to Yeshua Shalema, Vesruach HaTumah Avir Min Ha'aretz. We still find ourselves in the week of Chanukah. Chanukah, we don't want to let go of Chanukah. And any time there's a Yom Tov during the week, it continues till after Shabbos, as the Svarim say. Many circles, they would still be singing Chanukah songs, the Shabbos after Chanukah, until after Shalosh Shudos, to extend the Chanukah as long as possible, into the dark nights of Teves, the Lele Teves, or Aruchin, as Chazal referred to them as, the days of Ches Tes Yud, right? Following Shabbos, this coming Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, is known in the Poskim as the Shloshes Yimei HaAfela, the 3 days of darkness. Ches Tes Yud. Ches was the day when the Torah was translated into Greek. Tes was the day when Ezra passed away, when Nevuah ended, or some say the day of the birth of Osei HaIsh. And Yud Teves, Asara B'Teves, when Yerushalayim was placed in a siege by Nebuchadnezzar. Vayigash is the Shabbos that takes us from the Yemei HaChanukah to the Yemei HaChoshech of Teves. Hopefully that the days of Choshech should be turned into days of Or, which is the purpose. The whole purpose of these Tanesim, of the four Tanesim mentioned in Tanakh and Zechariah, the Tzoyim HaAsiri, which is this coming week, if we'll have to fast, the Tzoyim HaChamishi, the Tzoyim HaShavi, and the Tzoyim HaRavi, which are Asar B'Tevis, Shavos B'Tamas, Tisha B'Av, and Tzoyim Gedalia, the purpose is to turn them around. Yehofchu Yomim Eilu, L'Sosein, L'Simcha, L'Mayadim Tovim. And in Parshas Vayigash, we actually find the cure. Parshas Vayigash speaks about that which will change the Ta'anis, the Tanesim, into Yomim Tovim. On the one hand, Parshas Vayigash, very timely, taking us into Mitzrayim, into Teves. This is the parasha in which Klal Yisrael begin the Golus of Golus Mitzrayim. Yaakov Uvonov Yardu LeMitzrayim B'Shivim Nefesh Yardu Avisacha Mitzrayim was in Parshas Vayigash. Here's where the Golus begins. We go down to Mitzrayim. Lamata Miyud, just like the Chanukah candles are lit below 10 Tvachim. Lamata miyud also has the meaning of below, past yud teves. Lamata miyud. We go into teves, into yud teves, into a very dark month in which the Peronius began. That's the month in which Nebuchadnezzar surrounds Yerushalayim. This is the beginning of the four Tanesim, the Mitzrayim of time. We just had a taste of Yemos HaMashiach, which is Chanukah. Chanukah is the 8 days in which we get a taste of the future of Yemos HaMashiach. And in Parshas Vayigash, we're reading about how Klal Yisrael are entering Mitzrayim, which is Golos. The Chassam Sofer said it's hinted in the word Agolos, the wagons that Yosef sent, that Paroi sent. Agolos is Ayin Golos, the Golos of Ayin, the Golos of the 70 nations begins in Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim at that time is like a melting pot, like America today, a melting pot of all the 70 umos, of all the 70 lashonos. That's why we find that Paroi had to know the 70 languages. The one language he didn't know was Lashon HaKodesh, which, as we read in the parasha, in next week's parasha, that Paroi asks Yosef to swear that he will not tell anyone that he doesn't know it. But he knew 70 languages. Why does Paroi have to know 70 languages? I don't think President Bush knows 70 languages. I don't even know if he knows English. But Paroi certainly did not have to know the 70 languages. But the idea is, as the Svarim say, was because Mitzrayim encompassed all the 70 umas. Mitzrayim was the shoresh, the root of the entire Golos until today. All the Goliyos, as the Medrash says, Kol ha-Goliyos nikro'os al-shem Mitzrayim. All Goliyos are called Mitzrayim, which comes from the word Meitzar, Min HaMeitzar Karosi, constraints, Bein HaMetzorim. It starts in Vayigash. And so too, in time, we begin the Yerida of Zman, which is beginning right after Chanukah, where we go down into the days of Teves, the dark nights of Teves, until Tu B'Shvat. Which, as we know, until Tu B'Shvat, there's a Yerida in Zman. The hope is that Chanukah illuminates, as we know, there are 36 Neiros that we light on Chanukah corresponding to 6 days in Kislev and 30 days of Teves. As the Svarim say, it's Lamed Vav. The truth is there are only 29 days in Teves. There aren't 36, but starting from Chaf He Kislev, like this year, when Kislev had 30 days, if you count from Chaf He till the last day of Teves, there are 36 days. And the 36 Neiros of Chanukah are supposed to illuminate the dark nights of Teves through Shvat. And that's why in Vayigash, there's sort of a mixed message here. Vayigash is the parasha that Golus begins, but at the other hand, it's also the parasha of Revelation. Because here's where Yosef reveals himself to the brothers. Here's where Yosef says, Ani Yosef achichem Hashem achartem Moisi Mitzroima. And what results here, what happens here after this, is the achdus of Klal Yisrael. The total hisachdus, the total unity of the Jewish people, begins here when Yosef reveals himself to the brothers. At one moment, Yehuda, the brother, is Vayigash El of Yehuda. Yehuda approaches Yosef, the viceroy of Egypt, not knowing at all that this is Yosef HaTzadik. Svarim bring down that the unbelievable kedusha of Yosef was his ability to hide. That he could hide his tzitkus, he could hide the kedusha that was in him, that they didn't recognize that he was Yosef HaTzadik. The greater the tzadik, the more he's able to hide his tzitkus. Especially from other tzaddik. And we're talking about the Shiftei Ka. Every one of them was a Baal Ruach HaKodesh. Every one of them was a Navi. So how is it that 11 Nevi'im, imagine 11 Nevi'im together in one room, cannot recognize that the man in front of them is a tzaddik, and that the man in front of them is the Midah of Yesod, that the man in front of them has such unbelievable Kedusha to him. They don't even recognize that. They think he's a Goy. They think he's a Rasha. That's how great Yosef was. He was able to hide his tzitkus from them, which they were not able to do. Vayakir Yosef as Echav, says, he recognizes them, v'heim lo hikiruhu. There are tzaddikim that are not recognized for who they really are. And sometimes not only that, but they're vilified. Yosef was so great that he was able to hide himself to the point that at the beginning of Parshas Vayigash, they all view him as an evil person who had his eye on Binyamin, as Yehuda says to him, V'chizuhi simas ayin sha'amata losim ein cholav. This is what you meant when you wanted to look at our brother, you want to take him as a slave? And they thought, even worse. And Yehuda speaks very tough, Al yichar apcha be'avdech, Rashi says, Dibreil of koshoiz, and he compares him to Paroi, ki chamoicha kefaroi, so they view Yosef as a terrible individual, whoever this is. As we read last week, they said to their father, Diber ho'ish adoinei ho'oretz itanu koshos. He spoke to us so rough, so gruff. What an evil man. And then in a moment, in a second, they realize that they're standing in front of the greatest tzaddik. Yaakov, Yosef, who looks like Yaakov. Okay, they didn't recognize him. He had a beard before that. He didn't. But it also, he because he was hidden before that, he was in total hester. They had no idea who he was. And suddenly, Ani Yosef achichem Hashem achartem Moisi Mitzrayma, they realize who's standing in front of them. In a moment's time, such a transformation takes place, from hester to gilui. And if we look at the psukim and we study the parasha properly, we notice how great Yosef really is. Because at the moment that he's about to reveal himself, the pasuk says, "V'lo yachol Yosef lehisapeg l'chayil hanitzavim olav." Now, many learn that it means that he wasn't able to control himself any longer. He said, "All right, that's it. I have to reveal myself." Rashi says, "No, there's more to it than that." Rashi says he wasn't able to endure seeing his brothers embarrassed. Listen to this: "V'lo yachol lizboil sheyihu mitzrayim nitzavim olav v'shoymen sheechav mizbayshin behivadoy lahem." Do we realize what a tzaddik Yosef was? Who suffered more busha in his life than Yosef for the last 22 years? He's sold into slavery from one caravan to another. From Yishmaelim to Midyanim to Midonim to Soicharim and to Potiphar. He's accused of trying to rape the wife of Potiphar. Everyone is talking about it, so he's embarrassed. The entire country on the front page of the newspapers, that's all they're talking about this filthy Jew who was eventually incarcerated. So he's in jail. Busha after busha. Who suffered more bushas than Yosef HaTzadik? Yosef is concerned about the busha of his brothers. So they'll be embarrassed for a few minutes. So look what he suffered for 22 years. And he says, Hoitziu kol ishme oloi, that no one should be there so that the brothers should not suffer embarrassment. The moment that Yosef reveals himself to the brothers, which is a metaphor of the giloi of Moshiach, as the Medrash says, that when Yosef revealed himself to the brothers, that moment was parallel to the moment of when Hashem is going to reveal himself, Moshiach is going to reveal himself. The same that happened then is going to happen in the future. And what happens at that time, despite the great gilui, Yosef realizes what's happening and he's about to reveal himself, but we have to wait because we don't want anyone to suffer here. We don't want anyone to be embarrassed. I don't want my brothers to be embarrassed. I am not taking revenge. Here would have been Yosef's perfect opportunity to take revenge, if that's what he wanted. And he could have told the brothers, now you know what busha feels like? Huh? You know what it feels like? I had it for 22 years, so you have it for a few minutes? No. That's not what Yosef wants. And more than that, we find later in the parasha that it says that Yosef moved the entire Mitzrayim all over from one place to the next, in order that his brothers should not feel uncomfortable being in a country where they are not citizens. Everyone's going to look at them, oh, you're the guys who come from the other side, you're the Ivrim, you're not really here, you weren't born here. So he moved everyone around. The Pasuk says at the end of the parasha, and Rashi brings this down here too, the Pasuk says, that Yosef moved everyone all around. And Rashi tells us, why? To tell us, Shvachai shel Yosef sheniskaveng lahosir cherpa me'al echav. He didn't want his brothers to be ashamed. They shouldn't be embarrassed. Shelo yihyu koirin oisam goylem. So the people shouldn't call them exilees, people from another country, people from another area. That's what Yosef was worried about. Who had to go from place to place? Who never felt comfortable? Who was never home all these years? It was Yosef HaTzadik. He's concerned that the brothers should feel comfortable wherever they are in Mitzrayim. They should feel no different than anyone else. So he moved everyone around. So there's no one who could say to the brothers that you come from another place, because everyone came from another place. Everyone has moved around. This in the parasha where Yosef reveals himself to the brothers, we see the unbelievable tzitkus of Yosef, where he doesn't want to take any revenge. Because there are those who learn Parshas Miketz and think that in Parshas Miketz it seems like Yosef is taking revenge. He's talking very rough to them, he's accusing them of being spies, he's giving them a hard time, he's making their lives miserable, he puts their money in their sacks, so they come home and think they're going to be accused of stealing. So it looks like Yosef did take revenge. Revenge is only when the person you're taking revenge from knows who you are. They didn't know who Yosef was. That's not revenge. What Yosef was doing there was bringing to them a kapara for what they did. The suffering that they went through in Parshas Miketz is a kapara, was a chesed. Here, once Yosef is going to let them know who he is, then it might look like revenge. So at this moment, Yosef is very, very careful that they shouldn't be embarrassed. The Egyptians should never find out that they sold him. And at this moment, the brothers not only realize that Yosef is a tzaddik, and he's no longer hiding, he reveals himself. Reveals himself doesn't mean he just says who he is. Reveals himself means they actually feel it now. They actually see the kedusha on his face. Ki pi ha-medaber aleichem, Rashi says, the lashon ha-kodesh. He showed them the makom ha-mila. He showed them who he was, not just physically. They saw it, beruchnius. Oid Yosef chai, Yosef is still alive, meaning Yosef is still a tzaddik. Yosef never fell. Yosef was not, it wasn't chaya ra achalosu. He wasn't eaten by a wild animal. He didn't fall in Eshes Potiphar's trap. He was a tzaddik, and he remained a tzaddik, and he became much greater. In fact, his title tzaddik is because he went through the nesiyonos in Mitzrayim. Now he's Yosef HaTzaddik. But they didn't only see that, they also saw his unbelievable tzidkus, that he didn't want them to be embarrassed. They saw the ahava of Yosef to them, the ahavas chinam. They had to him a hatred, a sinas chinam. Vayisnu, I say, it says in Parshas Vayeshev, they hated him. Okay, one might say it wasn't chinam, they had a reason, they thought that Yosef was a Rasha. But by them it was vayisnu, I say. By Yosef, it's total ahava. Ahava to the point that he doesn't want them to be embarrassed. Even though they deserve it. Or he might have thought they deserve it. Listen, I was embarrassed for so many years, so you'll feel it for a few minutes. The brothers unite. There's total achdus here. That's why the Haftarah this week is about the achdus of Mashiach ben David and Mashiach ben Yosef. Throughout history, there was always a split. There are many who say that the split between Hasidim and Misnagdim is the split between Mashiach ben David and Mashiach ben Yosef. The Talmidei HaGra said that the Vilna Gaon was Mashiach ben Yosef. He said it about himself as well, that he was the Bechina of Mashiach ben Yosef. And Talmidei HaBaal Shem Tov, it's known, believed that Baal Shem Tov was Mashiach. And all the Talmidei HaBaal Shem Tov, all the way down, every one of them had the Neshama of Mashiach. So that's why there was always machloikus. Throughout the ages, this machloikus is the machloikus of Yosef and the brothers. This is the split between Yosef and Yehuda, which does not unite until Mashiach comes, which is what the Haftarah speaks about. The Haftarah speaks about the union of Yehuda and Yosef, which is the union of Mashiach ben David and Mashiach ben Yosef, when Yosef recognizes that Yehuda is the Melech, and there's only one Melech. Mashiach ben Yosef joins with Mashiach ben David, which both have an important job to do as the Geula approaches, but at the end, Mashiach ben David rules. V'charati lohem bris shalom. Bris shalom, a treaty of peace. Total peace. There's no more machloikas. Machloikas is finished. And that's why the Yetzahara, the Satan, puts all his energy and effort to cause machlokes. And even now, believe it or not, even now, even what we're going through, even the tzaras that happened in the recent weeks, and even now that Eretz Yisrael is in a Shas HaKona, there's still not the achdus that's necessary. Because that is going to make it end. That's going to bring the Geula, and that's why the Satan puts all his effort that there should be no achdus. And of course, the Shem Shemayim. It's all the Shem Shemayim. But all of it is Ma'akev the Geula. And in Parshas Vayigash, there's Achdus. That's the question. The question is, in the Parsha, we also have the Golus begins, yet in this Parsha, there's total Achdus between the Shvatim. No more strife. No more hatred. Now there's only Ahava between them. The Pasuk says, Vayenashek l'chol echov, he kisses all his brothers. That tells us that they no longer hated him, because in Parshas Vayeshev it says the loyachlu dabroi l'shalom, they were not able to speak with him, and Rashi says it was a praise that they weren't echad peve echad belev. They hated him, so they couldn't talk to him. They didn't flatter. They didn't make believe and talk one way and think a different way. They hated him inside, which they believed they had a right to. So they didn't talk to him. They ignored him. They don't speak to Rishayim. But here it says, V'acharechein dibru echavita. They did speak to him. Meaning, he's not a Rasha anymore. They recognize that he's a tzaddik. And they're totally united with him. There's total achdus. The geula has begun. The geula has begun before the galus started. The galus didn't even start. Yaakov didn't come down to Mitzrayim yet, and the brothers are united. Parshas Vayigash, therefore, is geula and galus at the same time. It's Geula, and the Parsha itself is telling you what brings Geula. What brings Geula is Achdus. V'chorati lohem bris shalom. Yet, in this Parsha, the Golus begins. And after Chanukah is the same. After Chanukah, either we experience Geula or we experience Golus, depending what kind of Chanukah we had. Depending whether or not we're able to extend the Chanukah into Teves. Whether we're able to extend the Chanukah into next week, certainly till Shabbos is over, but if we can extend it even further, there will be no Asara B'Tavis. Asara B'Tavis is B'Gematria Bris Shalom. Bris Shalom is the tikkun for Asara B'Tavis. And Asara B'Tavis only came about because there was no Bris Shalom, because there was no Achdus, because there was Machloikas. Chanukah, we mentioned last week, is when we feel the ha'ara of the Yemais HaMashiach. What's interesting is the Gemara says that on Rosh Hashanah we do not say Hallel. Why don't we say Hallel Rosh Hashanah? Sifrei Chayim v'Sifrei Meisim Psuchim Lefanov, the Gemara says. The book of life and death are open right in front of us. How could we say Hallel? It's not the appropriate time to say Hallel. Then how do we say Hallel on Chanukah when Chanukah is the Gemar Chasim Etoiva? As the Svarim tell us, on Chanukah we experience the gemar of that which began Rosh Hashanah. Chanukah is the extension of Rosh Hashanah. Matis Yahu is begematria Rosh Hashanah, as the Bnei Yisoscha says. So what starts Rosh Hashanah is completed on Chanukah. So if we can't say Hallel on Rosh Hashanah, or Yom Kippur for that matter, then how do we say Hallel on Chanukah? Not only Hallel, but full Hallel, and not only on every day of Chanukah, but Rosh Chodesh Teves, which is also in Chanukah, and as we know, every Chanukah has a Rosh Chodesh Teves, which is the only Rosh Chodesh that we get to say full Hallel. Every Rosh Chodesh we say half Hallel. Rosh Hashanah, which is also Rosh Chodesh, there's no Hallel. And Rosh Chodesh Teves, which is the beginning of the darkest month, the month of Teves, the month of Dun, the lowest of the Shvatim, the month which the Zohar says is under the power, the Shlita of the Satan, the Shlita of Esav, we say full Hallel. But if we don't say Hallel Rosh Hashanah, then how do we say Hallel on Chanukah? The Sfas Emes says that from a Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah, it's mashma that in the future we will say Hallel on Rosh Hashanah. The Mishnah says, Yom Tov Shel Rosh Hashanah. That's the second time that the Mishnah refers to Rosh Hashanah as Yom Tov. Normally in Mishnayos Rosh Hashanah, it's always called Rosh Hashanah. It's not called Yom Tov Shel Rosh Hashanah. Because it's not really a Yom Tov, it's Yom Hadin. But two times in Mishnayos Rosh Hashanah, it's referred to as Yom Tov Shel Rosh Hashanah. The first Mishnah of the fourth parak, Yom Tov Shel Rosh Hashanah Shechol Yoyz B'Shabbos, says Rabbi Levi Yitzchak Ba'aditshava, the reason why it's called Yom Tov there is because when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, it's a Yom Tov. It's a good year, it's a Yom Tov. You don't have to worry about the din, because Shabbos already removes the Midas HaDin. The second time it says it is the Mishnah here, Yom Tov Shel Rosh Hashanah, Perek Dalet Mishnah Ches, I believe, it says Yom Tov Shel Rosh Hashanah, the one who says Shachris, the Mishnah says there, the one who davens Shachris is not the one, the Shachris is not when you blow Shofar. The Hasheni Maskia, it says that the second one, the one who davens Musaf, it's during the Musaf that we blow the Shofar. And then it says, Uveshas HaHalel, Makra Es HaHalel. That when there's Halel, the Baal Shachris says Halel. So, what Halel? I'm talking about Rosh Hashanah, there's no Halel on Rosh Hashanah. So Mefarshei HaMishnah say, the Mishnah means, and on another Yom Tov, when there's Hallel, the one who davens Shachris says Hallel. Before that, the Mishnah is talking about the difference between the one who davens Shachris, the one who davens Musaf, and Rosh Hashanah, in which tefillah we blow the Shofar, and then on a Yom Tov, when there's Hallel, the Baal Shachris says Hallel. But what's the connection? Why is it meant, why is it brought down in the Mishnah of Rosh Hashanah, which is the Yom Tov in which we do not say Hallel? So the Sfas Emes says, because the Mishnah is hinting that even on Rosh Hashanah you're supposed to say Hallel. You're really supposed to say Hallel on Rosh Hashanah. The reason we don't do it is because Sifrei Meisim Psukim Lefanov. But in the future, La'asid Lavoi, when Bila HaMoves Vanetzach, La'asid Lavoi is Begamatria Bila HaMoves. In the time of La'asid Lavoi, when there'll be no Moves, there'll be no Sifrei Meisim Psukim Lefanov. What Misa? Who's talking about Misa? Rosh Hashanah will be just a Yom Tov, a day of recognizing the Malchus of Hashem, being Mamluch Hashem as Melech, and that won't change. It won't be a Yom HaDin anymore. It won't be a day in which one will have to worry about any Misa at all. So of course we'll say Hallel then. So that's why the Mishnah says, Ubashas HaHallel, when on Rosh Hashanah we'll say Hallel, the Baal Shachris will be the one who will say it. Makres HaHallel. And that's why that Mishnah starts off, Yom Tov Shel Rosh Hashanah. Meaning, the Mishnah is referring to the time of the future when Rosh Hashanah will be a Yom Tov, when it won't be a Yom HaDin, and then there will be Hallel. And with that we can understand why on Chanukah we say Hallel. Because Chanukah is Yemais HaMashiach. Chanukah is the way Rosh Hashanah will be in the future. Chanukah is 8 days. The number 8 is the number which is associated with Tchiyas HaMesim. The number 8 is the number associated with the future when Tchiyas HaMesim takes place, when there's no more Misa. As the Gemara hints to this, the Gemara says, "Yoyme de Chanukah Tamanya Inan Deloy Lemispat Behoyim." Literally, it means that during the 8 days of Chanukah, there are no hespedim. The pnimius sticker interpretation here is, the inner interpretation is, the days of Chanukah are days that there are no hesped, and there's no hesped, there's no misa. Of course there are no eulogies. There's no misa. Chanukah is a ha'ara of Yemais HaMashiach. So therefore, b'pnimius ha'enyonim at least, I mean, the kasha itself is obviously not a halachic question, because in halacha it doesn't say that Chanukah is the Gemar Chasim HaTov. But in recent generations that it was revealed by the Sifrei Kodesh, the Sifrei Chassidus, the Sifrei Kabbalah, that Chanukah is the Gemara Chasim HaTov. So that's why there's a question. So how do we say Halal? So the answer is because it's Chanukah is the future. And in the future there's no problem. The future, just as the Mishnah itself hints, that on Rosh Hashanah itself, we will say Halal in the future. So Chanukah is Yemais HaMashiach. And being that, at least till last night, we were in Yemais HaMashiach, so that means that Parshas Vayigash, the Shabbos following Chanukah, which Chanukah extends till after Vayigash, Vayigash therefore is the Parsha that touches Yemais HaMashiach, and that's why the Haftorah is about Mashiach. The first Haftorah of all the Haftorahs of the year, beginning with Bereishis, that talks about Mashiach is Parshas Vayigash. In the Ketz, Vayeshev, Vayishlach, you have one, Va'olam Mashiach Behar Tzion, but that the whole Haftorah should be revolving around Melech HaMashiach, about the Melech Mibes David of the future who will unite all of Klal Yisrael. That's this week's Haftorah. V'charati lohem bris shalom. The phrase bris shalom, we only find one other place, and that's by Pinchas. By Pinchas it says, lochein emor hinin ninoisein loyes brisi shalom. Pinchas experienced Chanukah in his own right. Pinchas was the only one who remembered the halacha of Haboyel Aramis Kanoyan Poigenboy. Just as in the time of Chanukah, the Yevonim wanted to infiltrate. They wanted to join with the Jews. They wanted the Jews to read their philosophy, their mythology. They wanted the Jews to no longer be a unique nation, no longer anything special. You want to learn Torah, you can learn Torah like you study any other study. Torah is like any other wisdom, but it's not Torah Secha. Lashkicham, Torah Secha. The same in the time of Zimri and Pinchas, the Mayavim and the Midyanim, because of the Eitzah of Bilam, came into the Jewish camp, just like Nichnisu Yevonim Lehechol. They entered into the Jewish camp to try to contaminate the Jewish people to marry the Benois Mayav and the Benois Midyan. Very similar to what happened in the time of Chanukah. And just like the Chashmonoim from Shevet Levi waged the battle, they were the true Kanoim, the true Kanois, zealots, L'shem Shamayim, to eradicate the Yevonim and the Misyavnim and to solidify that which separates us from the Umayis Ha'olam, L'havdil Ben Yisrael L'amim. Pinchas in his time, who incidentally, Matisyahu is a descendant of Pinchas. Pinchas is the Gematria Hashem's name 8 times. Pinchas is the Bechina of Shemini. Pinchas does not experience death. There's no death. Pinchas is Eliyahu HaNavi, who like Tom, Tam, Misa, Ukavura, we say in the Malava Malka songs concerning Eliyahu HaNavi. Pinchas never dies. Pinchas is Eliyahu HaNavi. Pinchas fights the war that the Chashmonoim fight later on. And he's the only one who remembers the halacha of Haboyel Aramis, because since he's Chanukah, Chanukah is the yom tov of memory. We don't forget. The Yevonim wanted us to forget. Lashkicham, Shemen Zayis is a school of Zikaron, as the Gemara says. On Chanukah we do not forget. On Chanukah it is revealed that Am Yisrael Chai. The Jewish people cannot be forgotten. Am Yisrael Chai is the Gematria Ner Shel Chanukah. The Ner Shel Chanukah is testimony to the fact that Am Yisrael Chai. And the halacha that Pinchas revealed, and only he remembered it, even Moshe Rabbeinu forgot it. Pinchas can't forget, because Pinchas is Chanukah. Haboyel Aramis Kanoyan Poigen Boy is Begematria Kiloisi Shochach Mipi Zaroi. The Torah will never be forgotten. Pinchas proved it. Pinchas was the only one who didn't forget. But because of him, Klal Yisrael is saved. Vayechaper al B'nei Yisrael Tachas Asher Kinei Leiloikov. Kinei is Begematria Chofei Kislev. Chofei Kislev, which is Chanukah, Chanukah is the yomtiv of Kanois, the yomtiv in which Vayechaper al B'nei Yisrael, Pinchas is Kanois in the time of Zimri. Pinchas, who solidifies the Chaima ben Yisrael la'amim and kills the sinners and stops the Mageifa and experiences eternal life as a result and does not forget, that's what the Chashmonoim brought us with Chanukah later on, the descendants of Pinchas. of Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKoyin. And Pinchas is a descendant of Yosef. Putiel is Yosef. Elazar, it says, Lakach lemi benois Putiel loy le'ishav atelid le'ez Pinchas. Putiel shepit peit beYitzray. Yosef, as we said in the previous weeks, Yosef is Chanukah, as the Shalom HaKadosh says. Yosef symbolizes the Yomtiv of Chanukah. Yosef, which means to add every night another candle. And Putiel is Yosef. The Shoyrish is Peites. Peites is Begamatria Chanukah. Pit Peit be Yitzroy. Pinchas is the descendant of Yosef. Pinchas takes revenge from the Midianim for what they did to Yosef, for selling Yosef to Mitzrayim. And being that Pinchas is Eliyahu HaNavi, and Eliyahu HaNavi is the one who's going to usher in the Messianic age together with Mashiach ben David, together with Mashiach ben Yosef. So Chanukah, which is the Yom Tov of Pinchas, that's why in Parshas Pinchas you have the Parei HaChag. It's interesting that Rashi in the Gemara, when he says Poichas and Vaholchen, according to Beis Shammai, you light the menorah in decrease mode, because it's connected Parei HaChag. So Rashi says, Ho'amurois beParshas Pinchas. People, you learn that Rashi doesn't usually do that. Rashi usually just says what Perek, what Pasuk, but he stresses the fact that it's Parshas Pinchas. It's in Parshas Pinchas, which is the eighth parsha of Sefer Bamidbar. Pinchas experiences Chanukah. Pinchas was one of the first. Shimon and Levi also with Shechem, Pinchas later with Zimri and Cosby, and then the Chashmenoyim, all are performing Nisei Chanukah. So in Parshas Pinchas you have the Parei HaChag, which according to Beis Shammai, Poichsin V'Holchin connected Parei HaChag. So we see that Chanukah is Yemais HaMashiach. So Chanukah has to extend into the Teves. The purpose is that Teves should become a month of Geula. Teves now is the month of Golus. And Vayigash is where the Golus begins. But on the other hand, the Haftarah of Vayigash is the Haftarah of Mashiach. And in Vayigash we have the Achdus of the Shvatim, the metaphor of the future when Mashiach ben David and Mashiach ben Yosef unite. Teves, which is the month of Dan, who is the lowest of all the Shvatim, even though he's the lowest and he's compared to a snake, Yaakov Avinu, Yehi Dan Nochash Alei Derech, Moshe Rabbeinu compares him to a lion. Dan Gur Aryeh, the only other Shevet compared to a lion is Yehuda. And Yehuda's month is Nisan. Nisan and Teves are opposites. Nisan is Geula, B'Nisan Asidin Ligoel, B'Nisan Nigalu. Nisan, we went out of Mitzrayim, and in Teves, we read Parshas Vayigash, Vayichi Shemois, the Parshas in which we are going down to Mitzrayim. Teves is the Mitzrayim of time. But Dan is equated to Yehuda. Dan is also compared to a lion. That means Teves can roar, Teves can rise. The Svarim bring down that Teves is Rosh HaTeves, Sekademenu Birchais Toiv, a pasuk in Perek Chaf Aleph of Tehillim, which is referring to Mashiach. Sekademenu Birchais Toiv is Rosh HaTeves, Teves. Teves from the word Toiv. Teves will be good, even though till now it was not. Teves has in it the potential of being a month of Geula. Like Dan is also compared to a lion, not only to a snake. When the Mishkan was put up, Hashem commands that the two Shvatim that are to be involved in the construction of the Mishkan are from Yehuda and Dan, Bezalel and Oholiyav, from the greatest and the lowest of the Shvatim. There's the total Achdus of the highest and the lowest of Klal Yisrael, Yehuda and Dan. When the Beis HaMikdash was built, Shlomo HaMelech from Shevet Yehuda and Chiram, whose mother was from Dan, together built the Beis HaMikdash. It's brought down in Midrashim that Mashiach will be a Neshama, or part of his family will be from Yehuda. Of course, it's from his father, he has to be from Yehuda. And from his mother, he will be from Dan. Mashiach will be the Neshama that fuses Yehuda and Dan, that connects Yehuda and Dan, that connects all of Klal Yisrael, may rate from the Reishis to the Acharis. Chanukah and Purim are in between Chanukah and Purim. We have the days of Ches Tes Yud Teves, we have the days of Teves, and the days of Shoivavim, which are the weeks of Shmois Va'ere, Bay B'Shavach, Yisrei Mishpatim, which connects Chanukah and Purim. In fact, Asara B'Teves is the day that actually connects Chanukah and Purim. Chanukah is supposed to illuminate Asara B'Teves, Shetich L'Regel Min Ashuk, Shetich L'Regel is B'Gematria Asara B'Teves, and supposed to prepare us for Purim. That's why Yud Teves is B'Gematria Chanukah Purim. Asara B'Teves, Yud Teves, is the day that connects Chanukah to Purim. Vayigash takes us from Chanukah into the days of Teves. And Vayigash tells us, look into the parasha and see how the brothers unite. Look how Yosef cares about the embarrassment of his brothers. The sensitivity to another Jew, even to a Jew who caused you harm. We see the same thing in Parashas Vayeshev concerning Yehuda and Tamar, and there's where Mashiach is entering the world, where Peretz is about to be born, where Tamar knows, Tamar is a Balas Ruach HaKodesh, Tamar is an Aviyah, she knows that the child in her is the future Redeemer, but yet she will not embarrass Yehuda. She says, "Leish asher ele loy anochi hara." She gives the chaysemes and the mata and the psilim to the shliach, and she says, "Give it to Yehuda and tell him that whoever owns these three items, I am pregnant to him." But she will not say that it's Yehuda. And as Rashi tells us, she says, "Better that I be burnt." She was he mutzeis li sarev. The pasuk says. From here, the Gemara learns out, better that a person get have himself thrown into a kibshon of fire rather than be malbin penei chaveiroi barabim. And where is the Torah telling this to us? When the formulation of the neshama of Mashiach is taking place. Here too, as Yosef is revealing himself to the brothers, we see the tremendous mida taiva of Yosef HaTzadik, where he will not embarrass his brothers, he will not hurt their feelings. That's what's going to bring the geula. What's going to bring the geula is uniting with all factions of Klal Yisrael, all segments of Klal Yisrael have to unite, especially those from the Talmidei HaGra and those from the Talmidei HaBal Shem Tov that perhaps for years haven't spoken to each other and have vilified one another and have not recognized each other and have not saw the good in each other. And this is how it was, unfortunately, since Yosef and the brothers, since the split of Malchei Beis David and the Malchei Yisrael, continuing throughout history, we had this machloikus. Even in the time of the Rishonim, there was always this machloikus. If one studies history properly, one will see this goes all the way back, and it's always based on very, very similar concepts, similar feuds. That when they unite, when these two unite, when Mashiach ben David and Mashiach ben Yosef unite, they don't even know who they are, but when Mashiach ben David and Mashiach ben Yosef unite, that's the kiyum of this week's Haftorah. That's when Hashem tells the Navi Yecheskel to take two pieces of wood, and on one of them to write the word Yosef, and on the other to write the word Yehuda, and to put these two pieces together. And it's a metaphor of what's going to take place. The kibatzti oisam yisavi, vehevesi oisam al admosam, veasisi oisam legoi echad ba'oretz. They will become one nation. The lo yiyu oid l'shnei goyim. There will no longer be two different Goyim, there will no longer be Sfardim, Ashkenazim, Hasidim, Misnagdim, Hamas is Rosh HaTevis, Hasidim, Misnagdim, Sfardim. There won't be any more Hasidim, Misnagdim, Sfardim. And there won't be any Hamas, which the only reason why there's any Tzaris in Klal Yisrael is because there are splits. But when Klal Yisrael unite, and it's not that he's a Chassid or he's a Misnagd or he's an Ashkenazi and he's a Sfardi, no, he's a Jew. There will be no longer two kingdoms, two camps in Klal Yisrael, or more than two camps. That's what takes place in Parshas Vayigash. That's the refuah. This is the remedy before the wound. As we prepare for the possibility that next week there might be a fast day, Asara B'Tavis, which this year falls out on a Tuesday, which is a day of double good, Yom Shehuchbal B'Kitav, in the month of Teves, which is rooted in Teves and Tov, one must take the lessons that we read in this week's Parashah in Vayigash, and perhaps if we took the lessons that we learned in Parashah Vayigash seriously, the achdus of the brothers, the concern and the sensitivity that one has to have to a fellow Jew, even if he's not exactly like yourself, not to cause any embarrassment, as Yosef doesn't do. When Yosef is about to reveal himself, says the pasuk, "V'lo hoytziu kol ish me'oloi, v'lo amad ish itoi." Svarim say it means there was no ish, there was no enushius, there was no, they weren't human, they became like angels. There was such an unbelievable kedusha there at that moment when the Klal Yisrael united, when the Shvatim united, v'lo amad ish itoi. There was no there was no ish. They were mal- there was like when the Kohen Gadol went into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, it says the pasuk says the chol adam lo yihya ba'ayhal mayid. There's no more adam. We were exalted. We were elevated to the level of the status of a malach. And as it says in the future, when Hashem will reveal Himself to Klal Yisrael, there will be no one there but us and Him. This will be the total achdus of Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'lo omad ish ita, no one can be here. Yosef says, there cannot be any of, no one from the outside world can be in the room now when I unite with my brothers. When I join with them, it's me and them, it's they and I, there's no one else. V'lo omad ish ita. When Hashem reveals Himself, there's no one else. There is no one else. Look what's going on now. What, we have so many friends? Look what they say about us. They blame us for everything. And when Hashem reveals Himself very, very soon, then they'll come running. But when Hashem reveals Himself, it'll be the way Omad Ish Ita. It'll be no one else but us and Hashem. Vayigash Eilav Yehuda. Yehuda approaches Yosef HaTzadik. Vayigash has a number of meanings. Vayigash means to approach. It also means to daven. Vayigash Avraham, it says Avraham daven. Vayigash also means to appease, like it says by Yoav. And Vayigash means to wage a battle. Yehuda did everything here. Yehuda was ready to fight. He was ready to appease. When you have to fight, you have to fight. When it's time to appease, you appease. And he was ready to daven. And he was also Vayigash, which means to come close. He was coming close to his brother. Vayigash Elav Yehuda, as far as says, Begamatria David ben Yishai. David ben Yishai, who's Malcolm Mashiach. We enter a time period now when we need a lot of tefillah. Vayigash is tefillah. Vayigash is also milchama. We have to battle the choshech. We have to battle the darkness. And Vayigash, we have to come close. Vayigash means to approach. Although in Teves we feel distant, compared to how we felt on Chanukah, compared to how we felt during the Yomim Nayroim or during the days of Nisan, in Teves we feel very, very far. Chazal called Teves the cold month. Eis Tzina, a time of freeze, freezing. Yerach she'aguf nenem en aguf. That's when Achashverosh married Esther. Achashverosh married Esther with Shchodesh Teves in the middle of Chanukah. Because it's the Yerach Sha'aguf Nehenem in Haguf, because it's very cold. And it means spiritually that it's cold. It's cold. We feel distant. We don't, the warmth, Chanukah was such a warm yantav. The warmth of Chanukah has to penetrate, has to enter into the dark and cold nights and the cold month of Teves. A month of Vayigash, one has to feel that he can come close. It's during the darkest times and the coldest times that a Jew has the yecheles to come close, to warm up, and to get as close to Hashem as possible. And of course, the goal is that Asara B'Teves turned into a Yomtiv, that Teves become the month in which the Geula should start. Till now, it was the month in which the Golas began, and therefore Teves has to be the month in which the Geula should begin, and Dan should join with Yehuda Teves, which is the month of Dan. He Dan Yodin Amay Ka'achat Shifta Yisrael, Chazal tell us, is Shimshon. Shimshon is equated to David HaMelech. Shimshon comes from Dan, and he was equated to David, who comes from Yehuda, which means Teves will join ranks with Nisan, which is the month of Yehuda. We should be zeichet to that, and we should see Nisim Geluyim in Eretz Yisrael, all the Sinei Yisrael should have a Mapola. We should see the Hizgalus of Melech HaMashiach, the revelation of Hashem. Hashem is what will reveal Himself in the world, just as Yosef does here with the brothers. And we should see the total achdus of Klal Yisrael and experience the Bris Shalom, as it says in the Haftarah this week. And as the Haftarah ends off, the Yodu HaGoyim, Ki Ani Hashem Mekadesh Es Yisrael, Behiyos Mikdashi B'Soicham La'olam.